Well, defiant anti-coup protesters have barricaded roads in Sudan's capital, Khartoum, returning to the streets for a second consecutive day despite the security forces' use of violence the day before. Now, Army General Abdel Fattah al-Burhan announced on Monday a state of emergency across the country while dissolving the country's transitional authorities. Hours earlier, tens of thousands of pro-democracy protesters began pouring onto the streets as news spread that soldiers had arrested a number of members of the cabinet, including Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok. Joining us this evening is Jonas Horner, Deputy Director, Horn of Africa at Crisis Group and Senior Analyst on Sudan, joining us live from Nairobi, Kenya. Good evening, Jonas.
Good evening. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's all happening in Khartoum as defiant anti-coup protesters block roads in Sudan. Tell us more. What's the background to this?
Well, yes. So this coup occurred yesterday morning. And, you know, in some ways, there had been about a month of lead up to this event. On the 21st of September, there was actually another coup attempt that was failed and didn't get too much press, but that precipitated a cascade of events that led us to yesterday morning. But the key here, I think, is that there was a renewed war of words between the civilian and military sides of Sudan's hybrid transitional government, and this pressed the military side to be increasingly worried about the prospect of civilians coming in to run the country. The military have been, in charge for about 52 of Sudan's 65 years of independence, and so they've acquired significant power economically and politically, and they were quite concerned that they would give that up were the civilians to come in, and concerned that they would perhaps have to face justice too for crimes that have been committed during the era of Omar al-Bashir and even since then, and worried too that a civilian dispensation would force them to give up their vast economic holdings in the country. And so, allied with also emboldening from some regional allies, the military, it seems, pulled the trigger and decided to take over and turf out the existing government.
Prime Minister Hamdok, many cabinet ministers seem to be missing. I mean, are their whereabouts still unknown? Are they in the country? Are they imprisoned or detained somewhere?
Well, according to a press conference that the coup head and former Sovereign Council head and head of the military, Abdel Fattah al-Burhan, gave today, Hamdok and his wife are at Burhan's house, which he said was, a particularly safe place, though it's unclear what the danger really is, except from the military. As for the other ministers, quite a number of the cabinet have been arrested, those who have been particularly vocal, in opposition to the military in recent weeks, and others remain free. For example, the foreign minister, who herself was most displeased and expressed this in no uncertain terms today, saying that she had only just talked to Burhan a week ago, who assured her that no coup was forthcoming. So she feels like many Sudanese, particularly betrayed.
The relationship between Sudan and the U.S., I mean, we've seen post-Umar al-Bashir, the Biden administration extending aid to Sudan, making some positive remarks regarding the progress of Sudan. Will this, now be a major setback in U.S., or I would say Western relations with Sudan? And is the Biden administration currently re-evaluating where they stand on the Sudan issue?
Well, the U.S., I know, is still committed to seeing Sudan move through to a civilian government via elections, via free and fair elections specifically, pardon me, and So, you know, it really depends on whether the military is able to maintain a hold in the way that it has taken a hold of the country, you know, yesterday. But the U.S. would certainly still like to see the military, you know, return to the background, I think, and for the country to proceed through to elections. I think as long as the military are in, relations will be rocky, and that much is clear. The U.S. had suspended, you know, $700 million in aid to Sudan, and I think that was meant to signal their lack of interest in supporting the military coup and giving them the sort of financial support that would make them look like able and responsive governors of the country.
The international community, I mean, the likes of the UN and especially the AU, the African Union, how much influence do they have in Sudan's, you know, politics? We know that the AU previously had commented quite rigorously on affairs coming out of Sudan. But these days, how is their relationship with, you know, with the Sudanese?
Well, the AU had really been integral to delivering Sudan to this transitional arrangement. In 2019, they had been central to brokering the constitutional declaration that placed Sudan on its current path with a hybrid military-civilian government. Since then, though, they've been almost entirely absent from the country and have sort of missed out on being influential in any of the other previous inflection points. So, you know, certainly at International Crisis Group, we're most keen to see the African Union re-engage. I believe there's scope for the AU to potentially suspend Sudan during this period of military rule, which would send a very strong signal to the country about the continent's preference for seeing the control of the transition shift back to civilians, but we hope that they will end their absence and be rather more visible and robust in their response to this coup.
You know, Jonas, civil war on the cards. I mean, is Sudan heading towards some sort of a civil war, or has such crises been observed before and somehow Sudan seems to negotiate itself out of it?
Well, that isn't, I would say, the most likely option. I think, you know, what is likely is at least in the sort of short to medium term, is something of a stalemate where civilians continue to come out onto the streets and to express their displeasure and disinterest in having the military control this transitional period. However, you know, another scenario that is not beyond the realm of possibility at all is some fracturing within the military. At that point, then you start to worry a little bit more about violent conflict, about civil war, about the prospect of larger regional engagement in such a conflict. We're not there yet, but it is true that even on the first day, a whole swath of military officers have been arrested, seemingly as a preemptive strike on those who might be you know, counter-coup operatives. But there are reports even that there have already been skirmishes within military units, though I cannot confirm that. So that is the primary risk around further violence for Sudan, but we'd like to, if we can, steer the country away from that particular eventuality.
Jonas Horner, thank you for joining us on Red Islam International, and have yourself a good evening. Thank you for your time.
Thanks. A pleasure to be with you.